friends, happy Friends of France Tuesday. Welcome to the second episode of our four-part series on one of my favorite things to talk about, skincare and beauty. We started this new season in the eastern part of the world, talking about ancient forms of medicine and health practices like TCM, Ayurveda, herbalism, yoga, and last week on Hanbang, or traditional Korean medicine, and its preventive philosophies that influence the global phenomenon of K-beauty. In this episode, we dive deeper into the world of K-beauty and talk about a specific ingredient or product that's been super hot in the skincare world recently. In the past, throughout the years, we have heard of beauty trends that have turned some heads, like vampire facial, human placenta for collagen, snail slime or snail mucin. Like, how far are you willing to go for clear skin? Well, today, let's add on more to that list with PDRN. Has any skincare lovers heard of this trend recently? How about this? Salmon sperm DNA. There you go. Yes, salmon sperm has been super in the talks lately within the skincare and beauty community, becoming a hot commodity of an ingredient in the past year or so. PDRN, or polydeoxyribonucleotide, are short chains of DNA extracted from salmon sperm. It has been used medically for wound healing since the 1980s, but its widespread use in skincare is a little bit more recent, though Korea has been consistently living in the future, having been around since 2008. PDRN is proposed with its regenerative and healing properties on the skin, which is great for healing skin injury, anti-inflammation, and even giving that glow. Well, today, I have the best person to talk to us about more of this. We are joined by my dear friend, Dr. Lana Chuk, a board-certified urologic surgeon specializing in aesthetics and sexual health, and is the CEO and medical director of LC Medical Aesthetics. Dr. Chuk completed her urology residency at Brown University and pursued a minimally invasive urologic surgery fellowship at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. Currently, Dr. Chuk is an assistant professor of head and neck facial anatomy at Montefiore Hospital, a national trainer for Galderma Aesthetics, a center of education for GAIN training, owner and national trainer for Face Med Spa training, co-founder of Face Med Store, and the host and co-founder of Future of Aesthetics Global Summit, an inclusive network for virtual aesthetics. Dr. Chuk has been featured in Forbes, NBC News, Fox 5 News, Cosmopolitan, New York Post, and so much more. Yep. I have iconic friends. Okay, are you ready for some salmon sperm on your face? Let's go! Sometimes, it's not time that heals all wounds, but flowers, steeped gently into a cup of tea. Inspired by founder Lisa Lee's own healing journey from thyroid disease and burnout, the Chi is a wellness brand based in New York City on a mission to help people feel more joy, calm, and connection through the power and beauty of flowering teas. The Chi was born from the discovery of rare, single-origin whole flower teas rooted in centuries-old Eastern rituals. Each bloom is hand-picked at peak vitality by small family-owned farms across Asia to offer a grounding, sensorial experience that reconnects you to yourself, one cup at a time. Choose from the Shangri-La Rose, Blue Lotus, and the Royal Chrysanthemum and get 15% off at the-chi.com. That's THE-QY.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Drink flowers, feel alive. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Friends of France podcast. Today, I am so excited and so stoked to have a very, very special and beautiful and glowing and radiant person and expert with me today. I mean, not just a physician and a surgeon, but a really, really good friend of mine. Dr. Lana, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. We're going to have so much fun on this podcast. Thank you so much. We love you.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you. I mean, when I was thinking of the topics of what would be included in this new season of the podcast, which is kind of a different take from the previous seasons. Now we're incorporating more of, I would say, more Eastern and traditional medicine and more of a look into the world, I guess, outside of the United States and the practices and the technology and science that we have here. And the first person I thought of in the realm of beauty, obviously, is you. And
thank you.
We're going to talk about very
important and very fun and very interesting topics today. But first, before all of that, I wanted to hear about your story, which is so inspiring and a story that I would love my audience to know about. I mean, you're so accomplished and you're so well-loved and known now, but I believe that all the journeys we have in life and where we are now in our life all roots from the experiences we've gone through, right? From childhood, through schooling and whatnot. So can you please tell us your journey that led to Dr. Lana today?
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much. You say successful and then I kind of like, you know, I'm always like, because we all have imposter syndrome, you know, no matter where we are in life, you know, I feel like I always still have the immigrant mentality, you know, I'm not good enough. I have to fit in. I have to have people like me. So I think kind of growing up in that mindset as an immigrant, you know, from parents who emigrated and escaped from the farmland during the Cultural Revolution in China, I think understanding their journey has shaped me into who I am, but just always having that mentality of, am I good enough, right? But thank you for inviting me to this. I want to talk a little bit about my story because I feel like we all have stories to tell and it's what makes us unique. And, you know, they always say, you know, how do you empower a woman? Just give her a microphone, right? And give her a platform. So I always feel like having a platform, having a voice is so important. You know, for me, my parents' story is really, you know, my story extends to me. And my parents fell in love when they were working on the rice fields. They didn't have an education. They were forced to work as farmers when they were in seventh grade. And so they were not educated or given chance of opportunity of education. Knowing that I, you know, am now a physician and something that they've always wanted me to become, I've always taken their journey, their plight, their escape. They built a raft and they escaped from their hometown where they didn't want to be farmers anymore. They had a bigger dream. They didn't want to, you know, just farm the rice fields where there were leeches buried, you know, into their skin and to their legs. You know, my mom would help dispose of feces from the outhouses. Like that was their job. And they had, you know, bigger dreams. And when they fell in love, they had this grandiose idea of what if we just escaped? And so my uncle was a general in the army at that time. So every night they stowed away in a little cave and just built a small little raft with some supplies that they had from my uncle, who's a general. And one night they, you know, got on the beach, even with armed guards and dogs that, you know, they fell asleep at midnight. So they were able to use ping pong paddles and a compass to leave their hometown and finally get to Macau. And the story that my mom still tells, even last weekend, when I asked her more in depth of this story that I could not believe because it could be, you know, made into a movie,
yes,
right, was like, how did you use ping pong paddles? And who the heck knows what's in those waters? Is it shark infested? And how did you even get from like your hometown to like this other city? And she was like, we got caught in like a, what is it, a whirlpool. And all of a sudden, my mom started praying like, you know, they lost their paddles. I think they lost their paddles because she told me that there were sharks in the water and she had to like take the paddles to like hit the sharks. And so she lost the paddles. And so they started going into the spin. And then she started praying. And it's interesting because, you know, she wasn't Christian or anything, but she prayed to God. And next thing you know, they landed. It was like they magically got onto shore. And then from there, they kind of muggled into Hong Kong on a vegetation boat where they were drugged because you can't make any noise, you know, because of the inspectors. They would like kill you on the spot or like, you know, put you in prison. And so, you know, all these things to get my parents emigrating and escaping and finally getting into the U.S. through San Francisco to New York and then being born as a second born. And as you know, China had a one-child policy. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have been born if we were still in China. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really shaped me into understanding that I don't want to live my life in vain, you know, where everything they sacrificed, you know, with their lives, their education, their childhood, everything they sacrificed. I don't want them to do it all in vain. And so they, you know, every Asian parent wants their child to become a doctor,
lawyer or engineer.
Right? Accountant, right? And so they wanted me to become a doctor. And so I became a doctor, you know, for them.
Yeah. And just hearing that story, I felt like I was transported into everything that you are talking about. Wow. Someone needs to come and make this into a movie.
Okay. Produce. Can we make that happen? Because I would need to be a superstar so I could retire.
Yes, definitely. Wow. I mean, you know, all of the sacrifices that your parents made and obviously leading up to where you are now. And I love how you say that your parents' stories are yours. And even though they did want you to become a physician and you obviously an accomplished physician now, I wonder what during med school and I guess the harsh days and no golden weekends of residency, where did you find that inspiration and that resilience to actually make it until the end?
I think when you want something so bad and there are so many obstacles to get there, and it is one of the toughest residencies to get into as an osteopathic physician, minority woman getting into a surgical subspecialty of urology at Brown University, it's pretty much unheard of. And so I think when you've come this far and you're still going, and you haven't given up, that means you're never going to give up, right? It's to the point of no return. Like, you've gone this far, you've faced all the hardships, and if you've gotten to this point while being the underdog, you just don't give up. And so I think that when I was going through this, and like you said, golden weekends, but it wasn't just about days off. It was, you know, working 120 hours a week, being on call, not sleeping the whole night, and then staying until the next day, and then staying at the hospital 2 days in a row, and then the third day staying in the hospital. You know, you become like a robot, like a zombie, really. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know what's going on. And it's not just the sleep deprivation that kind of gets you mentally and emotionally, but it's also the attendings, you know, coming after you and berating you and constantly badgering you. You know, it really was, for lack of a better term, like hazing, you know, on a daily basis, and like almost like torture on a daily basis. Were there times that I wanted to quit? Sure. There were times that I was like, wow, this is really, really tough. You know, I had specific instances where attendings were against me and they would make fun of me, and they would then have the whole operating room make fun of me, and they would leave me in the corner, not letting me scrub, right? Trying to intimidate me, trying to make me cry, you know, and you hear all these stories, but it actually really did happen to me. And no matter what happened, you know, I didn't let them see me cry. I would cry in private, but I wouldn't quit. You know, and by the time I became a chief resident, everything changed. It was like, now I'm like five stars. Now it's like I'm the, you know, the golden resident, you know, and it's because I endured all the hazing. But I didn't just do that. I stood up for myself. Yeah. You know, I went to the GME and I told them that I was being bullied, you know, by these attendings, which it's scary because, you know, you have a target on your back for the rest of the time that you're there. You don't want to be known as that person to, you know, rattle cages to say, hey, it's not okay to bully and harass someone. But I did, because I had to stand up for myself. And I actually, thinking about this now, I stood up at that time and I continued to do things to stand up for myself. When I look back and I'm like, I'm really proud of, because I don't see myself as someone who speaks up, who's someone who doesn't stay in their lane, someone who's disobedient, right? I see myself as like an obedient Chinese girl. But looking back, no, I would fight for what I believed was right.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important trait that everyone should try to nurture within ourselves, right? Standing up for ourselves. And I think that's also what led you into the switch from urology, right, to the field that you are now. Can you tell us more about that switch?
Yeah, you know, I switched from urology into aesthetics purely because I had to. When I was pregnant with my daughter and I, you know, gave birth very prematurely. She was 30 weeks and she was 2.5 pounds and she was in the NICU. Like, I basically bled. I had placenta previa. I was not supposed to be working. I was working up until the day that I bled, and she was, you know, 28 weeks. And then that's when I took off and then, you know, tried to go back to work. And, you know, it just all these things that we put our bodies through because we think we can do it all, right? And so when I had her and she had special needs and she was born blind, she had detached retinas. And we underwent like 7 surgeries. We, you know, I was out for about 6 months. She was in the NICU for 2 months. We even flew to Detroit to have her get, you know, eye surgery by some of the famous pediatric surgeons there. And at the end of the day, we couldn't save her eyesight. So, you know, it basically kind of changes the perspective of like, now, you know, you're not living for yourself anymore. Right. You're living for somebody else, someone else who's going to be dependent on you. So I think things change and like priorities change. And it's important for us to be able to pivot. So I asked for equal pay and I was told like I couldn't get equal pay. And even the fellow that I trained in robotics, robotics. And mind you, there's less than 1% of women in robotics at that time. But even then, I tried so hard to show them my worth, my value. And I shouldn't have had to do that when I've been showing them my value every single day by showing up, working harder than anybody else for 5 years and never taking a vacation. So when I was pregnant with my second child, I actually was fired from the hospital. And so that's kind of what led me down the journey of, you know, aesthetics, because I wanted to do something that I felt passionate about, that I liked doing. And that at that time, you know, my father owns a spa in the city. So I figured, you know, why not just, you know, utilize my skill as a doctor and do aesthetics, which, you know, at that time I thought was just vanity.
Yeah.
Now I know it's not about vanity. It's about helping you feel your most confident self every single day so that you could go out and crush it in the world. And I empower women every day. And it starts with inside out beauty, but confidence.
Yeah, I love that so much. I super agree, right? When you think of, I guess, the world of aesthetics, I guess, especially years ago, it's very much more accepted now, right? Like people would always say, people just want to be vain. They want to change the way they look. But this reminds me of something that you told Forbes in 2022, where you said, people will always remember how amazing you make them feel. And I guess in the world of aesthetics that you're doing now, why do you think these treatments make people feel good? And you just said that you make women feel more empowered, right? And feel better. Why do you think so, especially in the realms of aesthetics?
When we're younger, we can look in the mirror and actually like the way that we look. Before the stress, people's divorces, before people getting sick, before death, before COVID. And after taking care of other people, whether it's your child, your parents who are now more elderly, who are sick, dealing with death, dealing with stresses in life, one day you look in the mirror and you stop recognizing yourself. And it's at that time that you don't see the person who you remember yourself to look like. And so when you look in a mirror, after you get any procedure done, and you start to remember, this is the person that I see myself as, I think it's very powerful. And that brings you back to a time before the anger, before the stress, before, you know, the death, before everything that happens in life, which is the life journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you bring yourself back years to when things appear simpler, right? We always think like, it was so simple back in
yes,
the day.
The
it was so
day.
Fun back in the day, right? And maybe it was, you know, and as you get older, things get more tough and you deal with more issues, more problems and more health concerns. But, you know, you remember a time where you look like that. And it's just that switch in mindset where it's like, that's who I remember before the gray hairs, before the stress, before all the wrinkles, to see myself in the mirror staring back at me as someone I still recognize. I think that's very powerful. And that's what we do for people.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I must say a few months ago, when I was taking the subway and, you know, in between stations, it's just pitch black outside the windows. And so I'm looking through the window, I see my reflection, and I'm like, oh, dang, I see the under eye, the eye bag. Oh my gosh, I see that line on my forehead. And I immediately had this deep feeling of, oh my gosh, I don't look like the person who I was, you know, even though I feel like I'm still 20 years old. It's like,
yeah,
physically, it's not true, right? Even though you may feel it inside. It was so surprising to me that that was my visceral reaction to my own reflection on the subway mirror.
Which is crazy because you look so youthful and so amazing. But I have a feeling that everybody, when they think of themselves and they look at themselves from the outside in, they see themselves at their prime, you know? I also think, you know, this is so morbid, like, you know, like before people die, they kind of like think about who they are at their prime, you know? And my prime was in my 20s, right? Maybe my 30s, you know, and my 40s now, but maybe now is my prime if we can, you know, get on a K-drama together. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, obviously life is not over. Like life starts, you know, in your 40s, I think, in your 50s. But when I think about myself, I still think I look 25. Like in my mind, I picture myself at 25.
You do.
But then I look at myself, like, all right, I'm not 25. But we all have that perception drift where we are starting to age, but we don't really recognize it. And we have this denial until we look at ourselves on a Zoom call, you know, on a video, on a reel, on Instagram. And we're like, that's what I look like? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I'm very curious when it comes to just this conversation of aging in itself. You know, we talked about gray hair and more of wrinkles and sagging. agonist. I'm curious, being a physician from, I guess, more of a scientific and cellular level, what does aging actually mean, specifically when it comes to the skin?
So I always say that the skin is a biomarker for aging, and it's a biomarker for your longevity as well. Same with muscle, right? And so when you look at aging, it's really looking at what's happening on a cellular level. And you're going to get senescence of your fibroblasts, what makes our collagen and our elastin. It's what's happening to our extracellular matrix, what's supporting all the nutrients that's supporting our cells. It's what's happening to our ATP, the powerhouses of our cells. It's what's happening to our telomeres, right, for aging, like things are shortening. So if you look at it on a cellular level, you're going to get basically less mobility of the cells, less formation of growth factors, less activation of your fibroblasts on a skin level. And so when we're 18 years old, we actually every year start making less collagen every single year, starting at 18, which is so sad.
Yep.
Because when you're young, you're going to need your collagen type 1, you know, for your hair, nails, your skin. You're going to need your collagen type 3 for your organs, right? You're going to need your elastin so things are pliable. You have your recoil, you have your stretch, you know, so that you can grow, right? And so when you're 18, your body's saying, you know, evolutionary-wise, you don't actually need to make that much collagen anymore. Right. Like, you're good. So every year, 1% goes down. And when you're 30s, it goes down to 30% down of collagen. So if you were making 100%, now you're making 70. By the time you're 40s and even your perimenopausal age, like, you're basically not making any collagen, right? And so that's what aging is. It's not just understanding what happens on a superficial skin level. It's happening on all 7 layers of our face, including our muscle, including our aponeurotic system, including our ligaments, our empty spaces, our superficial fat pads, our deep fat pads, you know, and what's happening in the epidermis and the dermis, and of course, our scalp as well.
Imagine if skincare could do more, but with less. Meet Remsen, a New York brand made in South Korea, where world-leading innovation meets the no-nonsense energy of New York City. Their essential duo keeps it effective and efficient with high-quality ingredients. Their Gentle Greens Cleanser, featuring green tea, centella, and aloe, cleanses without drying. And the multitasking peptide moisturizer combines bakuchiol, ceramides, and a clinically proven dose of peptides in a single lightweight step to hydrate, strengthen the skin barrier, and help prevent visible signs of aging. Both are safe for sensitive and acne-prone skin types, vegan, cruelty-free, and beautifully packaged with sustainable materials, making the set a great gift. You can get 20% off your first purchase on remsenskincare.com. That's remsenskincare.com. with the code FRANZ, that's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Get maximal results with minimal steps. We long for what's natural, yet often hide it with layers. And today's soap market is no different, crowded with products that are harsh and overly processed. Born in Seoul, South Korea, Chai Minu was made to bring things back to something simpler, something intentional. Each handcrafted bar of soap is cold processed in small batches, using only natural oils and botanical powders. It is then cured and air dried for over 1,000 hours, letting the bar harden naturally for a gentler feel and a longer life. It all began with a mother searching for relief for her son's sensitive skin and her refusal to settle for harsh liquid soaps or quick-made bars. Let your skin experience the byproduct of patience, simplicity, and a mother's love for 15% off at shybinu.com. That's shybinu.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ.
This is why we have all of this array of skincare and treatments that's trying to target all of these, right? You know, we see all of this creams like, oh, it's going to stimulate collagen or things that reverse this, that reverse that. Curious. How does one decide between purely having a skincare routine versus, oh, it's time to probably get treatment?
Skincare is always very, very important as part of, you know, your regimen. If you don't have good skincare, you cannot prime your skin in the right way. So I will say, 7 years ago, I did not care about skincare at all. And still, like, using soap to wash my face, like, that's how, that was my skincare. Because when you grow up with, like, good skin, it's like, not a thing. You don't even care about it. You don't think about it, right? When you're older, or if you were not born with great skin, right? Or if you have acne scarring or acne, it's a big deal. Skincare is a big deal. Now, if you don't do good skincare, you can still do a lot of, you know, things to improve your skin. Energy-based devices. But I think with the skincare, it just potentiates and gives you good synergy for long-term investment results, right? So when does someone need more medical aesthetic treatments? The answer is really, it really depends on that individual, because you could be young and you could have really deep dynamic wrinkles, or you could be young, but you know, you could have thinning skin and crepey skin, right? So it really all just depends on the individual. So I never really talk about like there's a certain age, right? And of course, as certain ethnicities with different melanated skin types actually tend to kind of have difference in aging, whether it's, you know, difference in the loss of collagen, difference in rosacea and more visible skin changes and pigment changes versus more topographical changes versus more mechanical skin changes, you know? And so I think it all differs. But if you are someone in your kind of early 30s, you're starting to see the signs of aging, whether it's like pseudotosis and drooping of skin, loss of the elastic recoil of the skin, loss of that hydration, you know, of your GAG layer, glycosaminoglycan layer. So it's all the things, right? So there's a lot of things that we can do, starting from superficial to deep, starting from minimally invasive to more invasive. And so, you know, we love doing all the energy-based devices. We even like stacking energy-based devices, because if you think about it, Chris, we're electrocuting our faces, right? With our radio frequency. We're stabbing our faces with microneedling. We're like burning our faces with laser, right? So we're doing all these things to create this micro trauma so that our own bodies can start to heal it, right? We're basically tricking our bodies to say, you know what? We still need growth factors. We still need to repair this, you know, this injury. And so that's why we start to get this kind of regenerative medical field. But wouldn't it be great if we actually had fertilizer to help to repair it quicker than our own bodies? That's when PRP came into play, platelet-rich plasma, where we take your blood, we spin it down, we get all the growth factors. That's when now we're looking at PDRN, polydeoxyribonucleotides and polynucleotides, salmon sperm, right? That's when you get exosomes. That's when you get EGF, fibroblast growth factor. So all these things are now coming into play from a regenerative medical field like stem cells that's actually helping your body repair itself faster.
You're right. I feel like now, though, skincare and I guess more of the modern technology with all of these treatments, they're trying to fuse them together, right? Like, for example, we've been doing, have you seen that Dr. Riedel shot where it's like a cream, but then when you place it, it feels like you have microneedling on you.
Yes.
So I feel like, especially within K-beauty, right, which is so advanced, I guess, compared to the skincare products that we have here in the United States, I think they're trying to fuse that facial rejuvenation aspects between more of the skincare side and also more of the mechanical side when it comes to these treatments being fused into one. And I think one recently that's really been in the news and that you also mentioned is PDRN or salmon sperm. Now, who decided to go out into the ocean, be a bear, catch a salmon, and take out their sperm and decide, be like, I think this will help regenerate my skin? Well, I guess this will be the very crux of our topic today, because it's such an interesting topic. Again, what is PDRN and what does salmon sperm and salmon sperm DNA have to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, because once you hear about salmon sperm, you're like, wow, not only is that super Instagrammable, but it's controversial and people don't forget salmon sperm, right? And I think it's blown up really big all over the world, but now just into the US. And, you know, a little bit a pat on the back, because a year ago, I actually helped to bring to market Regeron. And there's a lot of PDRN, so I'm not going to just talk about Regeron because there are one of many. And so just to go over exactly what it is and just to go over the history of it. So polydeoxyribonucleotides are basically short chain nucleotides based DNA. So I don't know if you all have taken biochemistry, but you know, DNA has four different chains, purines and pyrimidines, your C, G, your AT, right? And so they connect together and they form this double helix, right? So what we can do is they cleave these DNA, the salmon sperm DNA, into smaller chains. The longer ones are called polynucleotides, the shorter ones are called PDRN, the polydeoxyribonucleotides. And these little fragments of DNA are not truly stem cells, but they work by being building blocks for your own regeneration. So imagine you get a cut on your face or you have a non-healing wound, and now you're applying this or injecting it, right? And now you have these building blocks of DNA that can help you rebuild that collagen and growth factors much faster. So it also gives you the building blocks for repair, regeneration, but it also works via the A2A receptor pathway, the adenosine 2A receptor pathway. And what that does is an anti-inflammatory pathway. So basically what that does is in your body, anything that's inflammatory, it's going to shut down. Anything that's anti-inflammatory, it's going to increase, right? So bottom line is you get this decrease of inflammation, whether it's eczema, rosacea, all this inflammation, it really takes that down. So I think that's a really important part of it too. Not only for the regeneration and the repair of tissue and taking all those growth factors and causing that chemotaxis of like growth factors coming into the area of injury and kind of pulling in all that stuff, but it also helps with depigmentation. It actually decreases the activity of the melanocytes, which makes you kind of brighter. And of course, in Asian society, they all want to be brighter, you know? And so that's really the crux of how it really works. But to be honest, nobody really knows the exact mechanism. And certainly with the longer chain polynucleotides, they're just extrapolating data of what the shorter term does. And just to answer your question, Chris, salmon DNA, especially from sperm, has actually been used in medicine even before being used in regenerative aesthetics. It was actually used for heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, which you in the cardiac unit, right, in the ICU, know that if you have HIT, you're going to use, what is it called?
Protamine sulfate.
Yeah, protamine. Okay. Yes, protamine sulfate. And protamine is actually salmon sperm. Actually, salmon sperm DNA is actually FDA approved for thromboembolic events after hepatovenous occlusive disease with liver transplants. So what that means is it does something to blood vessels to help repair, to help grow and decrease clots, right? And so that's kind of how they used it. And then they realized, wow, this is really great for wound repair. And so they started using that. Now, I think the first fish was actually trout, but I think it was harder to get trout. So then they got salmon. And, you know, we use fish skin for regeneration of tissues, right? For grafting, wound care. And so when you look at, well, what has a lot of DNA, but doesn't have a lot of other things that can cause an immune reaction? If you look at a sperm, it's got a big old head, a little tail. And that big old head that's swimming is all full of DNA, right? And ATP. So I think that's why. But again, I don't know for sure. But who is the first person that actually took...
And how do you extract that sperm from the salmon? Now, because of marketing, I'm wondering if someone will go out there and with the sturgeons that they're using to get caviar, they'll be like, oh, what if we can make caviar PDRN? Right?
Well, funny you ask, because I was actually invited. I was sponsored to go to Korea last year, and I went to their salmon farm facility, which is actually a conservatory, government owned, and we actually saw how they did it. Yeah, they actually like take the fish and they like squeeze out the sperm, and then it like kind of shoots out, and then they take that and then they kind of, you know, extract all the immune proponents on there that your body won't recognize. You know, they call it very natural because number one, it has high bioavailability over 97%, but it's very like the immunity is very similar to humans, like 97% similar, the ATCG chains. And so that's why we're able to use it in our skin, is because we have such similar DNA. We're only 3% different in our genome.
Wow, and kids, that is science.
Sometimes all it takes is a spark. Something crisp, bold, and refreshingly different. That's where Sanzo Sparkling Water comes in. Founded by Queens-born Filipino-American Sandro Rocco, Sanzo has a simple goal: to bridge cultures and invite communities to explore and celebrate bold Asian flavors by celebrating unique Asian fruits made with the real fruits themselves, clean ingredients, 100% natural sweeteners, and without artificial additives. Whether these flavors are a taste of home or a source of discovery, Sanzo is excited to bring you authentic flavors in the most delicious way they know how. So go ahead, pick your fruit, lychee, yuzu, mandarin, and much more, and get 10% off your first order at drinksanzo.com. That's drink, S-A-N-Z-O.com, with the code FRANZ10. That's FRANZ10. Valid until December 14, 2025, and limited to one use per customer. What if your night out could come with a smarter tomorrow? Meet DayGuard, a Korean-inspired functional jelly stick designed to support liver health, hydration, gut balance, and vitamin replenishment when drinking alcohol. With science-backed ingredients like DHM, L-cysteine, prickly pear extract, L-arginine, and B vitamins, each convenient and delicious stick helps your body break down alcohol and reduce next day sluggishness. Just take one stick before your first drink of the night and support your body's natural recovery so you can wake up refreshed. Get 10% off your first purchase at dayguard.com, that's DAYGUARD.com, with the code FRANZ, that's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes.
For those who may not know, in what forms can we apply PDR on our skin? Is it just skincare?
Yes. At this point in the US, it's only FDA approved for topical. So it's in skincare. You can put it topically post microneedling, post energy based devices with lasers, you know, Morpheus, etc. But in like maybe up to 30 countries now, They are able to inject it. They've gotten their version of the FDA approved. In the US, it's a little bit more stringent. So I think it's going to take a little longer for that to happen here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess now on TikTok and Instagram, you see everyone coming out of these clinics with dots all over their face.
Yeah.
Which I guess is Regeneron, and that would be PDRN too, right?
Yeah, it could be mesotherapy. Mm. It could be a cocktail. It could be, I think, toxin, if you wanted to talk about toxin. And I don't want to just call it Botox. Botox is a brand, right? But it's really botulinum toxin. Yeah. And there's 6 different approved botulinum toxin here in the US. And so when you're talking about how toxin is used in Korea and Asia, it's actually used differently, you know? And it's used for skin rejuvenation. It's not used necessarily for muscle relaxation, for wrinkles. It's used for skin rejuvenation. So I think what we're going to see a lot of here, Chris, is within the next year, we're going to see a lot of mesotherapy, which is those small little injections, with things like skin boosters or PDRN, which is not technically legal here, Botox of, TXA, glutathione, a concoction of vitamins, right? And so there's a difference between FDA approved off-label versus not FDA approved for injection at all, and that's actually illegal. And so currently in the US, we're not actually allowed to inject without FDA approval. Now, certain people who are doing studies are able to inject it under their study protocol, INDs, but aside from that, it's just used topically currently.
Noted. Wow. I guess there's so much to look forward to within the skincare world and technology. I mean, as you know, I was just in Korea back in April, and just being in these clinics and seeing the long-ass menus of treatments, I'm like, I have never heard of these things before. But I guess overall, even when you were mentioning like microneedling and lasers and PRP, and I think one rising too is exosomes, I think the general goal for all of the treatments and even for skincare, right, is more for rejuvenation and for that glowing and radiant skin and more of that combating those, I guess, physical signs of aging, at least on the skin and our dermal layers. I'm curious, how have we seen PDRN to fare between, let's say, more topical things like retinoids or treatments, things like microneedling and lasers when it comes to their benefits?
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's not one or the other. And that's the biggest thing, if you remember nothing else from our conversation today, with your audience. It's just, if you remember one thing, it's not one or the other. It's multiple modalities. And the more modalities and multiple ways that you come together, it's not monotherapy anymore, right? It's coming together synergistically with other procedures to give your face, the best amount of rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. So as I said earlier, if you're doing trauma to the face, give you some fertilizer, right? Give it a little Gatorade, a little fertilizer so that it can, help to regenerate and replenish, right? So I always say skincare is a must, but you got to do some of the energy-based devices or the microneedling, which is one of my favorite things to do. And then now the skin boosters on top of that, but you got to have to do, your skincare with it. So I do think putting together a big plan. Now, if you're talking specifically about like PDRN, I do think that there is definite improvement using PDRN to decrease your downtime, to give you that, really hydrated glow, like that Korean skin glow, the Asian skin glow. I've not seen anything like that, you know, with skincare per se. It's really pretty insane. I've never really had a product in my hands where 99.9% of people are like wowed by it, you know, not even Botox, right? So it's like, or botulinum toxin. So I think it's important for us to understand that. Now, in Korea, I think the reason why there's so many things on the menu to stack things together is because people are coming from afar and they wanted to get all the things done. And when you are a consumer coming into Korea for, you know, the best skincare, you're going to layer all these procedures done because in your own country, like in the US, one procedure may cost more than your 8 procedures, right? And so I think that like cost could be one of those things. But now, does that necessarily mean that stacking 8 procedures at one time is actually beneficial versus going slow and letting your body heal and not getting any scarring, right? So I don't think there's really been a lot, you know, in that discussion. I think it's important for us as skinfluencers. I'm not a skinfluencer, but like as influencers, skinfluencers, to really understand that when you're getting these medical aesthetic treatments, these are aesthetic medical treatments, right? And so it's good to be knowledgeable about skincare, but it's also good to have someone who really understands aesthetics and some of the potential complications to know that you may not want to push your skin too much or too far to do all the things at one time. And so I feel like there's a lot of things that I would love to debunk. And that could be a whole nother episode, Chris. We can do a debunking procedures, you know, East versus West, Korea versus the US, with the differences, what's better, what's not, you know, a lot of things that I find out about like the clinics over there versus here in the US, how they're run differently, how they're marketed differently. Like I have all that information that I would love to share. And maybe if somebody wants to, they can, you know, help us do this docuseries together.
It doesn't deserve to just be a podcast episode. It has to be a show.
A show, a series. It's got to be a show. Yes. We're going to do it together. We're going to host this. And it's going to be really educational, really, really bringing and bridging and aligning, you know, Korea to the US and really, you know, bridging that gap with education and science.
Yeah. And I love how you are such a huge proponent of skin education and just all about this treatment and not only their benefits to our skin and how they can help someone attain their skin goals, but also just talking about a topic that may be sensitive for some, right, when it comes to their skin. I remember when I was in high school and my acne was so severe, like I did not want to talk about my skin. I'm like, yeah, I tried that already. You don't think I tried that before? And, you know, obviously through years of my skin healing and finding the right products and the right treatments and the right people, you being one of them, thank you so much.
Thank you.
When I was planning out our episode and writing the blueprint and writing the questions, you know, we're talking a lot about scientific stuff when it comes to PDRN and the science of aging and treatments and skincare. But the root of our conversation, I think the bedrock of this is just that human appetite for, I guess, beauty and self-confidence and looking in the mirror and feeling like it looks like you. And that's why you do such beautiful work, because you help people achieve that and attain that with your expertise. Well, I wanted to ask, as one of our closing questions, you know, again, when I was looking in the mirror years ago, I could not even bear to fully look at it. And I know there's many people who are like that right now, not just teens, but even adults, right? If there's one person out there in the world who cannot bring themselves to love and accept themselves because of how they appear in front of the mirror or how they think the world looks at them physically, what would be your message for them?
My message to those that can't look at themselves and like what they see is that we can always change the outside. But if happiness and confidence doesn't come from within, you're never going to be as beautiful as you don't think you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that as people, we are our own worst critics and we perseverate and get anxious and focus and hone in on certain things about our face that we don't like. Whereas most people look at us and they don't see it. So if you do have somebody who, you know, really, really perseverates on something that they see that nobody else sees, you know, I think that psychological component is something that needs to be worked on first, you know, from within. So I do think, you know, we all should love ourselves and we all do love ourselves. We all should be our biggest proponents and do self-care. And also doing these beauty treatments is not about not loving who you are. You know, it's about loving yourself to the point where you want to help your skin look its best. You want your tissues to be the healthiest. Because again, when you're looking at it on a cellular level, skin is a marker for longevity and health. And, you know, and so it's important for us to not only eat healthy, get the right nutrition, sleep well, you know, do good skincare. It's the whole holistic approach to longevity so that you can feed your body the best nutrients possible and get enough rest so that you're healthy, so that you don't have cardiac issues, right? But now we're looking at patients as a whole, whereas in medicine before, it wasn't preventative. It was more just if you're sick, here's a prescription for an antibiotic. We're trying to get away from that when it comes to aging, when it comes to cardiovascular health or sexual health issues. Let's start preventing before it gets to the point where you're going to need surgery.
I love that. Truly, it comes from within, I guess, from the inside out, right? And I truly see that in you. Beautiful inside and out. And with that, we're going to end with some rapid fire questions where the scenario is you are on the edge of a cliff and someone's about to push you if you don't choose between this or that. So,
Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm ready.
You're ready?
I like rapid fire. I feel like I think best, you know, when it's like rapid, you know.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Static wrinkles or dynamic wrinkles?
Like, which one do I prefer?
Yeah.
My God. Dynamic wrinkles.
Skincare or cosmetic procedures?
Cosmetic procedures.
Botox or gua sha?
Botox.
PRP or exosomes?
PRP if you're younger, exosomes when you're older.
Okay, we're pushing you a little bit over the edge. Retinoids or PDRN?
God, people are going to kill me, but I like PDRN.
Me too. Microneedling or Fraxel laser?
Microneedling.
Ooh. Regeron or Potenza?
Regeron.
Hydrafacial or beef tallow?
Hydrafacial. What the hell?
Korean beauty line or celebrity skincare?
Korean beauty line.
And last one, salmon sperm or human placenta?
Ooh, oh God, I'm going to kick me off this cliff right now.
Is that the
human
ending?
Human placenta.
Human placenta? I'm so sorry, guys. Our podcast title is about salmon sperm, but I guess I have to change it now to human placenta.
I mean, all I got to say is, I mean, if it can grow a human versus a little sperm, like a billion of those little spermies, the placenta is going to be way better. So maybe we should, you know, bottle some placenta.
There we go. Let me talk to my friends who are about to give birth.
There you go.
Dr. Lana, this was so amazing. This is so fun. Thank you for sharing your time and your expertise and to educate us about salmon sperm. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Chris.